Hey, everyone, and welcome to the New Visionary Podcast, a podcast for artists who are ready to reach greater heights in their art careers. I'm your host, Victoria J. Fry, founder of Visionary Art Collective and New Visionary Magazine. Join me for inspiring conversations with some of the most inspirational visionaries in today's art world. Let's jump in. Hey, beautiful, and welcome back to the podcast. Today, I wanted to talk with you about a topic that has been on my mind lately in hopes that what I share will resonate with you and hopefully provide you with a bit of inspiration for your creative practice. But before I dive into this episode, I would so appreciate it if you could rate and review this podcast. It only takes a second and truly means the world to me. It also helps more artists to learn about the work we're doing at Visionary Art Collective and New Visionary Magazine. So if you could, please spread the word or share an episode you love with a friend. Okay, so I've been thinking a lot lately about how showing up for our creative work is such a powerful act of self-love. And of course, as an artist, right, I'm a painter, I always knew the benefits of making art. But I've been thinking lately about how creating space to engage in the creative process is a way of respecting and validating ourselves. Because when you choose to show up for your art, you are essentially saying, you know what? Even though I have a lot happening in my life right now, I'm going to reclaim time and reclaim space to do something that is important and meaningful to me. I'm going to actively carve out space to do something I love. And I think that when we do that, we're ultimately reminding ourselves that our thoughts and our ideas matter and that they are worth pursuing and that what we have to say is valuable. And I think that that's really beautiful and really powerful. When I think about it this way, I realize that making time to paint, you know, I say this because I'm a painter, but truly, no matter what kind of art you make or if you are a writer, whatever it is that is your way of expressing yourself, you know, for me, it's so much more than just sitting down and putting paint on a canvas. It is a time where I can process my emotions and get into this flow state where I'm allowing my imagination and my intuition to guide me. It's a place where I can quiet my mind and better understand how I'm actually feeling. It's also a place where I can create mistakes and practice self-forgiveness because we all know that sometimes making art can be messy and frustrating. But I've been reflecting all of this recently and I'm learning to be more patient with myself and my work. This is something I've really started to observe over the past few years. I'm learning to let go of perfectionism and focus more on the process than the product. I think a lot of books that we read last year in the VAC book club, which is now the VAC community, the visionary community, have helped me to reframe my mindset. A few of these books that really impacted me and my creative work, let me think, Big Magic, definitely Big Magic by Elizabeth Gilbert. The War of Art by Stephen Pressfield is another really good one. The Creative Cure by Jacob Nordby, that was, oh my gosh, that was an amazing book. And these authors encourage us to embrace curiosity. That's something that Liz Gilbert talks so much about. Approach our work with persistence. That is like very much, I think, the point of the War of Art. It's about showing up and being as persistent as you can be when it comes to making your work, not allowing fear to stop you. And ultimately, to honor our creative journeys, because that's when we feel the deepest sense of fulfillment. And it's also when we become the most inspiring versions of ourselves. You know, it is when we are showing up for ourselves creatively. These authors also talk about the relationship between art and fear. Fear is something that we've talked about so much in the visionary community. And it's a topic that has come up in every single book I've read that is centered on the creative practice. And I think it's just really important to acknowledge that when fear shows up, which it always will, right? It's always going to be there. We've got to kind of acknowledge its presence, but not allow it to impact the way we create our work. I think it's Liz Gilbert who says, like, don't let fear, you know, take the wheel. Don't let it be in the driver's seat. Like, just let it be in the passenger seat or in the back of the car, but don't allow it to control your decisions and how you make your work. And most importantly, you know, we can't let it stop us from making the work, because that can happen too. And one thing I wanted to share is that sometimes when I find myself resisting painting and I'm kind of like putting it off, I realize that it's fear-based. Oftentimes it's fear-based. You know, there's a part of me, whether I'm fully aware of it or not, that is afraid and might think, you know, what if I don't create anything meaningful? What if I realize that I'm not as gifted as I thought I was? What if I can't produce the way that I used to? Maybe my last good painting was just a fluke because I'm not actually a good painter, right? These are just like some of the thoughts that arise. And I think I'm pretty good about like talking back to these thoughts and not allowing them to consume me. But sometimes those thoughts pop up and that's very normal. I think like normalizing that is important. But when those thoughts creep up, you know, sometimes they do have the power to kind of stop me or prevent me from engaging in my practice. And I've shared before that I used to feel very discouraged after having a difficult studio session where I would show up excited to paint, excited to make my work, and I would leave empty-handed because nothing seemed to work. We have all had moments like or experiences like this in the studio. If you are an artist listening to this episode, you can probably relate. I feel like every artist I've met in my life, or at least most of them, have experienced ups and downs while creating their work, have gone through periods where their work has shifted or they have felt, you know, just kind of like discouraged or like nothing was working. And honestly, it can be really disheartening. I just want to validate that. It can be really disheartening sometimes. It has taken me a really long time to let go of this idea that making art is only worthwhile if something is produced at the end. And just as a side note, you know, when I think about this, when I really start to unpack this, it's obvious that a lot of this is ingrained into us from such a young age because of the emphasis that society places on productivity, right? From such an early age, it's instilled in us that in order to be successful, you've got to, you know, hustle, you've got to grind, you've got to self-sacrifice in some ways, and that your productivity is the most important thing. And I think that that can be really damaging. So when I think about this, it's not surprising to me that I used to focus so much on finishing a painting or finishing a sketch or creating some kind of tangible product. Because whether we are conscious of it or not, it's very easy to measure our success according to our productivity. Again, this is something that like we're taught from such a young age. And I also think that in the digital age we live in, we can fall prey very easily to comparison, especially when it comes to social media. This is a topic we've covered, you know, in previous episodes. And when we start to question ourselves, when we start to question our enoughness, that too can be really damaging. But I think, you know, with all of this said, it's really important that we remind ourselves that the real beauty, the real gift is not in the product. It is like, not to sound super cliche, but it's in the journey, it's in the art making, it's in the process, right? So I've really started to work on shifting my focus back to the process. And I've had to like really undo, I've had to actively work on undoing this way of thinking and understand that just showing up for my art, for my creative practice in the first place is something to be proud of. And all of the mistakes that inevitably happen when we are engaged in making our work, those are actually blessings because we learn from them. And don't get me wrong, like sometimes when we have a really clear vision for our work and it just doesn't go according to plan, it can be really crushing. But what has helped me to practice, you know, giving myself grace and remembering that all of those quote unquote failed paintings are going to lead me to something better. And I think that the more I continue to remind myself that, you know, I need to be gentle, like I need to be gentle on myself. I don't always have to produce something. It's not about productivity. And it's really about what I'm learning through the process. That's where the value lies. And I know this to be true because some of my best paintings, when I look at the work I've created, right, over the past few years, some of my best paintings, some of my strongest pieces came after tough studio sessions where I was full of frustration. And I can see clearly now that those mistakes, right, whether it was the materials weren't quite working together or I couldn't quite get the colors that I wanted, whatever it was that seemed to, there just seemed to be some resistance. I learned lessons. I learned from those experiences. And ultimately, those experiences led me to the work that I really loved making because I was able to gain a deeper understanding of what it was I actually wanted to make. You know, I've spoken before about how sometimes we learn more from the paintings or the artworks that don't work out from the ones that do. There was another example I wanted to share with you. Recently, I ended up wiping away a painting at the end of a studio session. I just kind of, wasn't going in the direction that I was hoping it would. But I really tried to shift my focus and observe what I learned and kind of like focus more on that than getting down on myself or feeling like my efforts weren't good enough. I was working on an acrylic painting that was not cooperating, but I kept working on it over the course of a few nights. And eventually I just painted over it, not out of frustration or anger, but because it just wasn't working. And I thought, you know what? It's going to be better for me to just start from scratch than to keep trying to make this painting into something that it's not. And so I shifted gears. This is also a really helpful tactic, by the way, I have found if you are working on something that just doesn't seem to be turning out how you hoped, is like put it down and use different materials, like switch to something else. So I switched over to my watercolors. I just thought I need to do something loose. I need to get back into my watercolors. And these two paintings flowed out of me like so effortlessly. And I absolutely loved them. And I thought, this is the direction I want to take my work. I will return to acrylic painting at some point. Now I have a better understanding of the direction that I want to head in. But I don't think that those two paintings would have flowed out of me so effortlessly if I hadn't have been sort of battling with that acrylic painting, right? This is just kind of a small example, but I've found this a lot in my work where sometimes the best work comes after, you know, those tough moments. Okay. I had some notes, so I don't mean to jump around too much, but there was a lot I wanted to cover regarding this topic. So I've also been thinking about how dedicating time to making our work is also part of taking ourselves and our interests seriously and not dismissing the things that we find interesting and meaningful. I think that it's really easy to talk ourselves down. And it's easy to tell ourselves that creativity doesn't need to be a priority when we have other responsibilities, other obligations in our lives. But when we take time to create, we are pouring back into ourselves. And I think that that is essential to our well-being. You know, the famous saying, you can't pour from an empty cup, is true. And when you neglect your art practice or push it to the back burner, you're really neglecting a part of yourself. And that is one of the biggest things I've come to realize lately. It's a disservice to yourself because your creativity it's something to nurture. You know, there's a famous quote that some of you might be familiar with, and it says, "The creative adult is the child who survived." I remember when I first read this quote online, I think I saw it on Instagram, like maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And it really resonated with me. I remember taking a screenshot of it and just thinking, yes, that is so true. I actually used to work with children when I was in my early and mid-20s. And there were times where I would watch the kids drawing and I would look around the room and I would think, how many of these children are going to continue drawing or making art, you know, in their teen years and when they become adults? And I think the reality is that as we get older, we just kind of naturally begin to place a higher level of value on being productive and adhering to society's expectations of us. And when this starts to happen, it is very easy for us to lose our connection to our creativity. So this quote, right, the creative adult is the child who survived. To me, I kind of interpret that as like, when we engage in our creative work, when we choose to follow our artistic pursuits as adults, we are nurturing our inner child in so many ways. And I just think that that is also like such a beautiful thing. As I've been thinking about all of this and kind of reframed my way of thinking, I've just noticed that I'm so much calmer now when I have a studio session, like when I'm painting. I'm not worrying the way that I used to about producing something. This isn't to say that I don't have goals, because I definitely do. And actually, one of my goals this year is to create a whole new series of work. I've talked about in previous episodes how I really want to paint larger. I want to work on bigger canvases. I have this vision for the series that I want to create. So I don't want to say that making work is not important to me, but I'm so much more gentle and compassionate with myself when things don't go the way I had planned. I think a big part of this is letting go of perfectionist tendencies, also a topic that has come up in a lot of these podcast episodes. And I want to encourage you, as you're listening to this, to think about how you can bring more self-compassion into your studio practice. And again, like, even if you don't make anything, always shifting your focus to what did I learn? You know, what did I observe? What did I notice in this studio session that could be helpful for me moving forward? And all this really is to say that our creativity in many ways is our greatest teacher if we are willing to learn. And ultimately, through our creative work, we can experience immense growth, not just creatively, but on a personal level as well. Showing up for your art is showing up for yourself. It's prioritizing yourself. It's loving yourself. And it's saying to yourself, I matter. My creativity matters. And I deserve this time I'm taking for myself to make my work. I'm going to keep showing up because I believe in myself and I believe in my vision. That's really, like, really powerful. I know I keep using that word, but it is, I think, one of the most powerful things. And I also think it's one of the greatest gifts that you can give to yourself. So with that said, keep showing up. Keep showing up for your art whenever you can, in whatever ways that you can. Be gentle with yourself and remember that making your art is one of the highest forms of self-love. Thank you, as always, for tuning in. And yeah, I'll see you next time. Thank you for tuning in and supporting our platform. To learn more about New Visionary Magazine, head over to visionaryartcollective.com/magazine. You can order individual copies on Amazon or subscribe annually to digital issues. We also have opportunities to get featured in the magazine, so be sure to join our newsletter and follow us on Instagram. If you enjoyed this episode, please feel free to leave a review on iTunes or tag us on Instagram. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.